May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 1127. 1127. When Zion's sons, great God, appear in Zion's courts for praise and prayer, there in thy spirit deign to be as one with those who worship thee. Hymn 1127. We will read from God's holy word two portions, the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, and the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And now the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Once more, dear Lord, we would venture to the throne of thy grace. And oh, as we come, Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear and answer the longings and desires of our hearts. And oh, it's the silent petitions, Lord, that have gone forth before this service, or maybe even now. We pray thou wilt send down those answers of peace. Oh, do grant then that breath of real prayer. We pray that we may be ever as penitent sinners at thy dear feet. Oh, do help us, Lord, to weep and to mourn over our many, many sins, and to beg and plead for mercy. As one of old said, mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Or as one other said, Lord, with my burden I begin. O remove this load of sin. How many, Lord, feel the burden of sin within and need thee to come to wash, Lord, and to cleanse us from all sin. We would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." Oh, we pray to be real penitent sinners at thy feet. And oh, that thou would supply thy precious blood to us, that blood that cleanseth the blackest and vilest of sinners of all sin. And oh, Lord, as we gather to worship thee this evening, we pray for the divine influence of thy Holy Spirit, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, do favour us to feel and to know thy sweet and sacred presence. O Lord, one of old said, "What is the house to me, unless the master there I see?" And oh, we would come desiring to see no man, save Jesus only. O Lord, may we be favoured like thy dear disciples and the mount when they saw no man, save Jesus only. O Lord, do help us this evening to worship thee from our hearts. who send thy quickening spirit forth, and quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Lord, how we need thee, because we cannot keep alive our own soul. We pray that we may be real lively souls in the vital things of God. Oh, save us from lukewarmness and coldness and deadness. And oh, that we may be real living souls, lively souls before thee. We pray that thou wilt feed us with that bread from heaven. Lord, we need that food from above. Thou hast said, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And oh, that we may hear thy voice this evening, and that thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. And O Lord, do lead us by faith to Calvary to look on him whom we have pierced. And oh, we pray that our hearts may be truly softened and melted, Lord, and that we may be humbled in the dust. For thou hast said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And O Lord, do help us to cast all our cares upon thee. For thou hast said, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May we know more and more of thy tender, loving care to our souls. We pray that thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people this night. May none be empty sent away. Oh, may those that truly seek thee find thee. And those, Lord, that are in sorrow, oh, do come and turn that sorrow into joy. And those that are plagued with unbelief, Lord, and so often we are, be given that living, vital faith to believe. For thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. We pray that thou wilt remember those, Lord, that are tried and tempted by Satan. Thou knowest how real the foe is, Lord. Do cast him out, we pray. Set thy people free. Especially those in bondage, Lord, do come and loose them. And say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. May there be many freed, Lord, and set at liberty. And we pray that thou wilt lift up any that are cast down. And Lord, any that may need heavenly direction, we pray thou wilt come and speak to them what they, and show them what they have to do, and every hour their strength renew. And those, Lord, that feel the great need, and thou knowest how we do, to be prepared for thy will and for a vast eternity. Oh, do come and assure thy dear children that it will be well while life endure, and well when called to die. May we have those blessed assurances from heaven. Lord, do speak a fear not to all thy fearful ones. And do bless the dear children and remember them with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. Keep and preserve them, Lord, in this wicked and perverse world. And may they follow on to know the Lord. Do bless the Sabbath school here. We pray thou wilt help the dear teachers and that thou would apply thy word to them while in early days. And that may they prove thy sweet promise. I love them that love me. And they that seek me early shall find me. And O Lord, we pray for the dear parents, for wisdom and help and strength to be given to them. And Lord, do remember all those that are in trouble. Do appear for them, Lord. Make bare thine arm and work. And those that may have some special need at this time, we pray thou wilt come and supply. Lord, and those that are so exercised concerning their souls and concerning the sacred ordinances of thy house, that thou wilt bring those exercises to fruition in thy time. And that there may be others constrained to follow thee here. And O Lord, do work in this area and in this village, and may there be an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. Thou hast promised, I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Oh, we pray thou wilt sweetly fulfil thy precious promises, that Zion may be further built up and revived, Lord, and may it be so here and in our own flock at home. And do remember thy dear aged people, do sweetly assure them that thou art with them, and that thou hast helped them hitherto, will help them all their journey through, and will crown their journey's end. Oh, we beg of thee to hear the cries of thy children, and that thou wilt work. And oh, do bless Zion at large, we pray for a season of real prosperity, if it would please. Oh, do come and crown this year with thy goodness. And oh, do add to our own church at home precious souls, Lord. We thank thee for those thou hast constrained. And we would be truly thankful for present, and yet ask for more. And oh, do bless the ministry of all thy servants, and may the gospel's joyful sound, enforced by mighty grace, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. And Lord, do have mercy upon this nation and turn us from our wicked and evil ways to thee. And may our leaders and rulers be taught of thee and brought to look to thee for all they need in all the affairs of this nation. And Lord, do appear for those that are persecuted and oppressed. Many walk through hard and difficult things, Lord. We beg of thee to appear in you. Ukraine and in other places where wars rage, and may it please thee yet to manifest thy power, and may we see the wonders thou alone canst do. Remember those away at this time seeking rest and change. Do bless them where they are, Lord, and favour them in their souls and favour them in body and a time of refreshing. And Lord, we pray thou wilt bring them back in peace and safety at the appointed time. Help the deacons, Lord, to be with our dear friend away at this time. May he be encouraged and granted strength and help. And do bless our dear brother here and give them that wisdom in all the things that burden them and concern them concerning thy house. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us a truly thankful heart for all thy many, many mercies, all thy goodness to us. We would crown thee, Lord of all. Thou anoint us to speak a few things this evening in thy holy name. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And may thy word have free course and be glorified this night. Lord, do help us to love and praise thee more. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Help us to sing thy praises from our hearts. And may we know the realities of what we sing. And Lord, we pray thou wilt speak this night and apply thy word with divine power. We ask these poor breathings in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 256, 256. In vain men talk of living faith when all their works exhibit death, when they indulge some sinful view in all they say and all they do. The true believer fears the Lord, obeys his precepts, keeps his word, commits his works to God alone, and seeks his will before his own. Hymn 256.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's Epistle of the Hebrews, chapter 13, and the 5th verse. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It's not very often I change course halfway through a day. We mostly have the same text all day, but the word we had this morning seemed laid upon me, plus this word, and so we venture with it. The Apostle Paul so often was used as God's messenger to the Lord's dear people, and to give them gracious exhortation how they should walk, how they should live. And this is a wonderful part of God's holy word. The old preachers used to say that the Epistle to the Hebrews was like the pure gospel being set forth, because the apostle so enters into the sufferings and death and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his holy priesthood, the wonders he alone could do. And in this closing chapter, he exhorts, first of all, the great need of brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. And then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And then marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And then our text, let your conversation be without covetousness. Well, may the Lord help us to look into it a little. Firstly, when he speaks of conversation, he does not just mean what is spoken. It's the whole life of the child of God, how they live, how they walk, how they act. And he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. That first word is very instructive, really, because he says, let your conversation. In other words, do nothing from hindering your conversation being without covetousness. Covetousness is a terrible sin, really. We see so much of it today, don't we? You look through the nations of the earth, there's so much covetousness, craving things that we should not have. And looking to things that the Lord may have forbidden us to enter into. And he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. May it not be seen or heard among you. But then he goes further and he says, and be content with such things as ye have. Now, let us look at this first part a little. Let your conversation be without covetousness. How often we find covetousness creeping up in us. We may look at something and think, well, we would like that, or we would like a smoother pathway, or we would have things different. Or we covet to get out of the trouble we're in. There is a right covetousness. We're told in the Word of God, covet earnestly the best gifts. There is a right covetousness. But here, he sees in these Hebrew church, which were many of them godly souls, and exhorts them, let your conversation be without covetousness. You look in the nation today, in this land, and in others too, the covetousness that's going on, the discontent, the industrial action, because they want this and want that and something else. It's contrary to the Word of God. He says here, let your conversation be without covetousness. Not just, as I said, what we speak. It's how we act, how we live. I've seen some solemnly that just by their actions speak of covetousness, which is a terrible thing, you see. And the apostle warns so against it. But what I really want to look at as help this evening, he goes further and he says, and be content with such things as ye have. There may be those of you this evening that are in a particular pathway and you're discontent with it. You want it changed. Now you say to the Lord, Lord, why have I got to walk in this? But you know the Lord brings with his grace, gracious contentment, sweet submission to his mind and will, sweet resignation to his mind and will. And the apostle could well write this, and that's why we read in Philippians this evening. He could well write this to these Hebrews because he had walked it out, what it was to be content. And the grace of God enabled him to be content. And you think the places he had to come into. You read in Corinthians what he says, the times where he was in prison, the times where he was beaten, the times when he was shipwrecked, the times when he had affliction laid upon him. And what do we read in Philippians this evening? He speaks this word. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. And how had he learned it? Not in the school of man, but in the school of Christ. I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And that's a wonderful place to be in, you know. Gracious contentment. And what did Paul write to his son in the faith, Timothy? Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you look around today, there's very little godliness and there's virtually no contentment. And that doesn't just apply generally in the world, it applies in many of our houses of God. Discontentment. This wants altering, or that wants altering, or man wants his way in this or in that and something else. But the apostle, you see, comes to this place. He said, I have learned. Now he learned it under the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. He knew what it was in affliction's pathway to be content in it, because the Lord was with him in it. He knew when he was in prison, and we could remind you of that in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were in the prison in Philippi. But what do we find them doing? We don't find them complaining why they've been beaten. We don't find them complaining because their feet were in the stocks. We read that they were put in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. But what did they do? You see here how content they were in it, Paul and Silas. How would you be? How would I if we got our feet in the stocks and had been beaten like they had been? And what do we read? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. When you think, poor soul, your lot is hard and you begin to feel discontent with it, you take it to the Lord. Here they prayed. That was the first thing they did. For the Lord to, no doubt, we're not told what they prayed, but for the Lord to give them gracious submission to it all, they prayed. And then they sung praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They made it known that they were content even in such a situation. He says here in our text, doesn't he, and be content with such things as ye have. You think of dear John Bunyan in Bedford Jail. The wonderful contentment the dear man was given. Grace shone in him, and the Lord was with him in that prison cell. And the Lord so blessed him there. And be content with such things as ye have. I have nothing this evening, I preach this to myself. But you think, poor soul, with what you're in this evening, I know not. I leave that with the Lord. But be content with such things as ye have. And I want to look further into this, because if you want a pattern of gracious contentment, you look at the dear Lord Jesus. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He was submissive to the Lord's mind and the Lord's will with all what he had to endure. The hymn writer said, what he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. And just going back to Philippians, how wonderfully the dear man says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then he says this, I know both how to be abased and how to abound in everywhere, In everything, he was instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you see, when covetousness creeps in, let's put it like this. If the Lord has so blessed you, and you look at something and you think, well, I would like to have that. And I use an illustration. A great uncle of mine that was pastor at Westerning, the chapel there. And while he was pastor, the Lord wonderfully blessed him in his own soul, in the ministry, and so on. But one day he was walking down through the high street in Westerning, and they were building some new houses. And he looked at them and he thought, well, I would like to add one of them. And in a moment, the Lord withdrew. And he was in darkness and in distress. He said, oh, the lesson he had to learn. When left for a moment, just in his thoughts, into covetousness. And he said the Lord withdrew from him. He didn't know the sweet presence of the Lord as he'd done in the hours and days past. And he was brought into a season of bondage and darkness just by one look. Now, I've often thought about that, you know. We need to be very careful. So well could the apostle write here, let your conversation be without covetousness. Why? Because it brings the child of God into bondage. Bring them into distress. Sink them into the depths. And be content. Now, there may be those of you this evening, while the Lord's given me this word, you look at your lot and you think, well, if only it would be changed, if this could be changed and that could be changed. You think in the path of affliction. I think of several dear souls over the years I visited in hospital. They've been in the depths of affliction. And they're not complaining about the pain they've got. They weren't complaining about the bed being hard. They weren't complaining that they were in the hospital because they didn't want to be there. No. They were resigned to the Lord's will. Submissive. Content. And why were they content? Because the Lord was with them. I think of a dear lady that was in hospital and she'd been afflicted for many years. I went and visited her in Lister Hospital at Stevenage, and she got to undergo a big operation for a lady well advanced in years. And she said to me, she said, you know, the Lord has made this bed a very precious place to me. She said, and I'm content to lie in it. Because, she said, the Lord has set before me his sufferings, his agonies. And she said, the nurse came round and she said to her, would you like some water to drink? And she said, when she said it, immediately her heart went to the dear Lord Jesus on Calvary. They gave him vinegar to drink. She said, you know, the contentment the Lord gave her on that bed, she could never describe in words, submissive to the Lord's mind and his will. What does the hymn writer say? To lie passive at his dear feet. and know no will but his. You know, if the Lord set before you, and I speak with much reverence, a little glimpse of what it was he endured for your soul at Calvary, it'll melt your heart and you'll lie passive. You'll be submissive, you say. Content. It's a good place to be, you know. But you, so often, we have to come into these deep places to learn what's in our text. Gracious contentment. Sweet submission to his mind and will. What does the hymn writer say? Let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine, but while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that I am God. We think of, and I may have told you before, when I, in my early days in the ministry, I used to go to Aldershot Chapel to preach. It's been closed for many years now. And there was a dear deacon there, Mr. Turner, a very gracious man. And he was in the depths of affliction, and he was taken into that hospital in Aldershot, and it meant him undergoing a serious operation. And he was so troubled about it all. He said, Lord, do appear and come and make my bed in this affliction. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord makes the bed of his afflicted people. Some of us know when we are in an affliction's pathway, and maybe you children, a mother comes and she takes all the sheets off and changes it all and makes it comfortable for the child, or one for the adult. And but it's a wonderful thing when the Lord makes the bed. And you may say, well, how does he make it? He comes and he makes that place the place of heaven to you. Heaven begun below. And that dear man, dear Mr. Turner, he said, you know, they brought me into the hospital. He said, I lay my head back on the pillow. The nurses were so kind. He said, and as I laid my head back on the pillow, the Lord spoke. And he said to me this, be still and know that I am God. He said, all I could do was fall into the Lord's hand. Be still, you say. We read, don't we, in the hymn, their strength is to, or in the word of God too, is to sit still, to be still. Resign to his will. Well, the operation took place and the dear man made a wonderful recovery for his age and the depths of the affliction. And when the surgeons came round to see him about 3 or 4 days after the surgery, they said, Mr. Turner, you're a miracle. He said, I'm no miracle. He said, the Lord's worked the miracle. And he told them exactly what the Lord said to him as he lay his head back on that pillow. And you know, the many of those surgeons around the bed, they stood amazed. The wonders God alone could do. You see, the surgeon's knife is in the Lord's hand. Dear Mr. Shaw, that was pastor at Nottingham, when he went into hospital to have a major operation for cancer, he said to me, you know, before we went down to the theatre, the surgeon came to him. He said, Mr. Shaw, we've got to do this major operation. But he said, the first thing we must do is pray. That's what the surgeon said to him. He said, it was such a comfort to him. He said, because you said, the surgeon said to him, it's not just me and those in the team doing these things. He said, we're all in the Lord's hand. He said, it's only He can give you the healing and the restoring. And Mr. Shaw said, you know, the whole savour of, as he went into that operating theatre, was full of the presence of the Lord. Even the surgeons admitted it. And, you know, when such things sweetly take place in your pathway and in your heart, poor soul, you'll feel that sweet submission, content, you see. He says, and be content with such things as ye have. But then, you may look at it in the providential pathway. Some of you may be in something in your providential pathway and you feel discontented with it. You may say, Lord, why has this come? Why have I got to walk this pathway? Well, poor soul, you seek the Lord to give you that contentment and to show you what you've got to do. The hymn writer said, didn't he, show me what I have to do, and every hour my strength renew, and be content with such things. Now the Lord knows in each of our pathways tonight and each of our heart, those things, such things, they're all known to Him as ye have. And when He brings you into the reality of this gracious contentment, you will know what it is to fall into His arms. It's a matter, like I said in prayer, and I often say it before I get up to preach, if the Lord fails us, we're finished. Sink or swim, He'll never leave His dear children to sink. He'll hold them up. You think of that beautiful word, and sometimes the Lord can give you a word of gracious encouragement to make you content. We think of that beautiful word in Deuteronomy, what the Lord said, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Look how deep and profound that is. Underneath. It won't matter how low the child of God sinks. Underneath are those everlasting arms. What to do? To hold you up. To hold you on. To keep you safe. I remember on one occasion some years ago now, I had to take a baptising service, and the dear lady, she was very troubled about water, tempted, saw she would drown in the water. And the Lord came and He spoke to her this word, dread no ills that may befall thee while you make His ways your choice. And you know, it settled her completely. Dread no ills. And you think what you might be in this evening, or maybe one exercise tonight. Dread no ills that may befall thee while you make His ways your choice. And you know, it brought to her such calmness and quietness and submission. And she said to me afterwards, you know, the Lord took away all the fears. And it may be that you are fearful tonight in seeking to follow Him. But there's another way. I just want to briefly hint at this. And be content with such things as ye have. And that is this. You know, many of those that are exercised concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinances come to this, where they say, Lord, thou hast given us this token, this sweet encouragement, this clear word of direction, but do give me something more. And you've got to be very careful, because you see, you can get to the place where you're dictating to the Lord. One of my deacons is now in glory. He had a great burden and exercise concerning asking me to come to put the pastorate at the Dicker. I didn't know this till some time after I accepted the pastorate, but he felt, well, I should have to bring the matter to the church. And the Lord had wonderfully given him sweet tokens all the way through in it. And he got to the point where he said, Lord, give me one more and I'll take it to the church. But he said he went for a walk with his dog up on the South Downs one morning. And as he walked up, there was this great burden on him to bring the matter to the church that they should ask me to come in view of the pastorate. And he said, as I walked on those downs, Lord, give me one more token and I'll take it to them. There was a church meeting arranged, and he said, I'll take it to them. And the Lord spoke to him these words. And they are in that first lines of the beautiful hymn 329, I think it is, where the hymn writer said, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. And these were the words the Lord spoke to him. What more can he say than to you he has said, you unto Jesus for refuge have fled? What more can he say than to you he has said? He said, I realise I was dictating to the Lord what the Lord had got to do. He said, you know, and I brought the matter. And of course, we know what the issue was. And it was 20 years ago now when I accepted the pastorate. But, you see, I've often thought of that dear man, you know, how the Lord settled him, not in a way that man would think, by telling him, he'd given him all he was going to say in the whole matter. You see, it's so easy for us, and I know I've come in guilty sometimes in it, and I admit that, and I pray for the forgiveness in it. You know, we can easily dictate to the Lord, Lord, do this and that and something else. We need a real broken heart, a contrite spirit, and the grace to set it before the Lord, and that his will might be done, not ours. So he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't forget that. It's not my word, it's the Lord's word. And be content with such things as ye have. And then he tells us why. Why we got to be content. And he tells these Hebrews, for he hath said, and what the Lord has said, poor soul, will never return void. But it shall accomplish that which he pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. I will never, and he says this, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to some poor seeking soul or real follower of the dear Redeemer this evening, I will never leave them. Your friends may leave you. Your loved ones may leave you. But he says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The hymn writer said, didn't he, of friends and counsellors bereft. And some of us know what that is. Then it's painful. But I will never leave thee. And you think of the dear Apostle Paul, the things he had to come out of in being a Pharisee, and how they all forsook him. And think of the Lord Jesus. They all forsook him, even his own dear disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. They all forsook him and fled. But he says here, I will never leave thee. How vital it is to have such a promise. And when he says, I will never leave thee, it means when you're in the depths. It means when he raises you to the heights. It means when you're in the fire. You think of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He didn't leave them, did he? To perish in that fire? I will never leave them, nor forsake them. You think of Daniel in the lion's den? I will never leave thee, Daniel. And the Lord didn't, did he? He sent his blessed angel and shut the lion's mouth that they could not hurt him. Think of Jacob in all the trials he had to go through. With his family, with his children. Look at the famine. Look at all what he went through concerning Joseph. Came to the place where he had to say, Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And now they've come to take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. But they weren't really. It was all part of the purposes of heaven. The word was to be fulfilled. I will never leave him. And the Lord didn't leave him, did he? He felt to be left alone, but the Lord was still with him. And then this is something you can plead before the Lord. If the Lord promises you this, child of God, you can plead it before him. Lord, you can take it back to him and say, Lord, thou didst say this. Oh, do fulfill it. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You think of Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. He was leading a stiff-necked and rebellious people. Look at all what they had to walk through. I'll go into Psalm 107. How many times they went down into the depths and cried unto the Lord, and he brought them up out of their distresses, and they could praise and bless his holy name. He fulfilled it for Moses in every jot and tittle. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And then think of Joshua as he took up the mantle that fell from Moses. And you read that first chapter in the book of Joshua. Wonderful book that is. Wonderful chapter that is. And look how the Lord promised him he would never leave him, nor forsake him. And what he has said, poor soul, he will fulfill in every jot and tittle, the Lord will. He's not like us. We forget. We may promise this or we may promise that, but we're poor creatures of the earth. The Lord has all power to fulfill this word. Oh, he has. I, the Lord speaking, will never. What does the dear hymn writer say in that beautiful hymn? I'll never. No, never. No, never forsake. I will never leave thee. It's personal, you see. And may the Lord apply it to us each personally this evening. And may we be enabled to plead it before him as we go forth from this service, whatever you and I may have to walk through. I will never leave thee. Man may leave you. The Lord's people may leave you. But I will never leave you, nor forsake thee. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Graham Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Brian Izzard next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 400. 400. Lord, afford a spring to me. Let me feel like what I see. Ah, my winter has been long, chilled my hopes and stopped my song. Winter threatens to destroy faith and love and every joy. If thy life was in the root, still I could not yield thee fruit. Hymn number 400.
Come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. do bless thy own precious word, and oh, that thou wouldst fulfil it in each of our souls. Grant us that grace to be content in every state. And oh, Lord, do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.